Good morning, good morning. Let's get to our seats, please, and get ready to worship. Are there any happy people today? A couple of us? Okay, that's good. Well, I believe that by the end of this worship, everybody's going to be screaming with joy. Because yesterday, I felt on my heart like today was supposed to be like really, really powerful. And I believe the Holy Spirit. Yeah, because yesterday I was practicing the worship set for today in my backyard, and I kind of felt like this irk from the Lord, like I needed to get up off my cajon and just start worshiping him, just like raw worship, yelling the words, didn't care how it sounded, raising my hands, just worshiping him. And so I did, and it made me realize how much more personal it can get whenever you just worship the Lord and you just lay down the schedule, whenever you lay down your comfort and you just worship him. And so today, what I feel like the Lord wants us to do is he wants us to just lay down any sort of schedule that we had. You know, I'm sure we all come in with like, I know where I'm going to sit. I'm going to get my coffee. Then that short Mexican dude's going to come up and tell me how to praise Jesus. And I want us today to just lay that down before the Lord and just worship him. Okay, so let's all stand up. I'm going to pray us into this. So Lord, I just thank you so very much for this amazing worship service that we get today. And I just declare right now that each and every person in this room would just get a touch from heaven, God. I just pray right now that you would begin preparing our hearts for the amazing things that are going to happen today, and that it would start right here, Lord. We just thank you so much that you are on your throne and that you're doing amazing things. And we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm here to worship you.
I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. It's when you call my name.
We're going to see one more time.
I needed rescue, my sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. You called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. And your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. When you call my name, and I ran out of that grave. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Rest on us, come rest on us.
Won't you come in and fill me? Won't you come in and fill me? There's an invitation to do as you want to, Lord. I just really feel impressed. Ooh, I'm stuck. To invite you guys up here. Like, not necessarily an invitation, but a kind of calling you guys up here. Up more to the front, even just to the one more row further, closer than you are. Because sometimes to allow the Lord to do things that he wants to do, we have to get out of ourselves, right? We have to be a little bit uncomfortable. And so I'm asking you guys to get a little bit uncomfortable for him today, for yourselves, to allow him to do the work that he's wanting to do, because sometimes we can get really comfortable when it comes to the things of Jesus. And I just want him to just be able to move in our hearts today in a big, bad way, and to do something different, to have a different expectation. And if you want that difference in Jesus today as well, come up. Even just one more row. Even just one row closer. I challenge you. He's doing something so big right now, you guys. And he'll do it whether you move or not. He's not bound by us. This is just our opportunity to step out in faith and do something that tells him, that shows him, that actively states, God, I want more of you. I want more of you. And I want to give you the opportunity, Lord. I want to lay myself down, because it takes a laying down of pride. It takes a laying down of comfort. It takes a laying down of, you know, oh, somebody might see me. But God is so worth the discomfort, because he's never going to fail you. He's going to meet you and bless you in a bigger way than ever. Like, he asked us to be like these children who are up here, and they know how to engage with spirit in a fun way, right? Just dancing their little hearts out. Not a care in the world who's seeing them. They are just having a time of their life, and I want us to tap into that childlikeness, to just have not a care in the world who's looking, that we're just having fun with Holy Spirit, because he is here to have fun with us today. In Jesus' name, yes, Father. If you'll go and just do that again, just go back into that course. Do what you want to do.
Whatever you want to change. Thank you. think if we could see with spiritual eyes what transpires in the heavenlies when we worship God, when we praise Him, when we take our eyes off the surroundings, on our own situation, and the burdens of our own life, we set our gaze on Jesus and just worship Him, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. If we saw what is taking place, that the demons that are bowing before Him because of the power and the glory that's being evident around us in the presence of God that fills the place, that they it's like Jesus is literally there, and they say, don't judge us now, because they sense His presence. That those chains and those shackles and those barriers that have been holding us back from God's very best are removed. The victory is won. The battle's won. I think if we saw that, if we knew that, if we had that in our heart, that when it came time to worship, it would mean something more. It means something less religious and something more substantial, as our very existence relies on it. Lord, we just thank You, God, that You are working in every heart, every mind, every song that we're singing, Lord, whether a song of the Spirit or just a worship song, Lord, that we have an opportunity, Lord, to lift Your name and exalt You, Lord. Let Your kingdom come and Your will be done in our lives, Lord, as You desire. Just thank You, Lord, for this time, Lord. We thank You, God, that You are not finished with us yet. You're not finished with this service. You still have more to do, Lord, and we give You opportunity, Lord. We yield and we surrender, Lord. As the song said, Lord, rest on us today, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that we're changed. Lord, if we leave this place the same when we came in, Lord, what a waste to be in Your presence, Lord, and not be transformed, Lord. So I pray that You would transform us. You would change us to be more like You, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we give You full permission, full operation in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and greet someone. Love on them.
Good morning. Good morning. If we could find our seats. Are you sitting? Okay. All right. We are going to get into our declarations this morning. We're going to do praying for the Yakima Valley. How many of you guys know that it is important that God's people are thinking about where they live, right? And so I have this strong belief and strong conviction that it is our responsibility as ambassadors of heaven to make sure that we are bringing heaven down to earth and in our city. Amen? All right, let's go to that first slide. If you guys will stand with me, we're going to say this in unison. And I challenge you that if you in the past have maybe not said it, that you say it today. If you've said it without meaning it, that you mean it today. If you've whispered it, do you say it loud today? And just let's do something different. Let's get our heart engaged with these declarations so they're just not words. On the count of three, one, two, three. Thank You, Lord, for what You are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that You would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that Your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. God, I just praise Your name for the Yakima Valley. I praise Your name for what You're doing here, God. And even the things that we can't see, Lord, that seem seem like it's gone to hell in a handbasket, God, that you're still on the throne regardless, God. God, I thank you, Lord, that politicians, that people that sit in seats that make decisions, that they don't determine the state of our city, God, but that you do. And so we just praise your name today, God. We thank you for Yakima. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in this city and the city surrounding it. And we just praise your name. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You guys can take your seats. So we just have a few announcements. Actually, Kaden, can you go to like the Between Sundays one, the one that we start with in the morning? It's the very first slide. Yep. So I just want to go over these again. It's been a while since we've hit these, and sometimes it's good just to hit these. So Sundays, we have our youth group that meets Sunday nights at 6:30. Not tonight because it's our barbecue. So just a reminder, if you know a youth, if you know a teenager that needs a place to be, we meet here at 6:30 to 8:30 downstairs in our youth space. And we have a really, really great time. And then we have two women, a woman and a men's group that meet. One on Tuesday is Gaylene's group, and then the men's group meets on Wednesdays. And this is a Zoom meeting that they meet. And so if you need a place to plug in, and because like we just sang, it's not about just a Sunday morning faith. It matters what we do once we leave this place. And so if you're looking for a group to connect, that's Gaylene's number, and that's Pastor Mike's number, and you could get a hold of them. They'll get you connected with those Zoom groups. All right, we can go to the first slide, buddy. And so pre-service prayer downstairs. We do this 15 minutes, give or take, and this is just a good way to start our morning. And so everyone's invited. This isn't just for us who are here early in the morning, and I know it's a sacrifice, but believe you me, there's something that changes when you come in and you take intentional time and pray for our service. And so please join us. 9:45, we meet downstairs, and it's just a great time. Next slide is we have our church potluck. So this is tonight. So if you have not signed up, or if you need a reminder of what you signed up for, we have our little sign-up sheet right here. And we can, do we need to pass it around? Does anybody need to see this? Or you guys all remember? Because I told Pastor Mike, I'm going to stand at the entryway of Franklin and remind everybody what they brought. And if you didn't bring it, no, I'm just joking. Not going to do that. So we'll pass this out. If you need it here, I'll pass it to you. She's coming. I'll let you hold it. So this is everyone's invited. We're going to meet at 6:00. And if you're looking at Franklin and you can see the pool, we're going to be on the left side of the pool. There's a play structure in that area. So you're going to park in that parking lot by the soda fountain. Is that what it's called? Nancy reminded me as well. So make sure that if you can bring a chair, we're going to do our best to get that awning that's right there, because you don't have to reserve that spot. And but by chance we don't get it, and even if we do get it, if everybody comes, we'll need extra seating. So make sure you bring your chairs and bring a dish to share or a snack to share. I think I got all that. And then in a couple weeks we are doing a yard sale, and so we're getting dangerously close to this. And so here's what I'm going to say, that please utilize, this is Nancy's number, the 388-6011. Please get a hold of her, and we will arrange time to come and get stuff if you have stuff to donate. Or if you have the ability to get it here, I can arrange a time for me to come and meet you at the church, and we can put it downstairs or wherever we need to go, okay? Again, this is a great cause. This is all money going to our youth, so, you know, for events like camp and just different things. Take this week, take next week, go through your garages, and let us sell your stuff for our youth. Amen? And then I think that's it. Oh, and then giving. So we appreciate everyone that gives to the house. Thank you for sowing your seed into this place. And, you know, I was actually chatting, me and my son and my wife were talking last night, and we were just talking about just the miraculous things we've seen God do in our finances. And, you know, I believe that all comes from a place of just like, God, I'm not saying I'm perfect at this, because obviously I'm human, but just, Lord, I trust you with my finances. And part of me trusting the Lord with my finances is being willing to give into the house of God. And so, we can go into Bible and why it's biblical to give and all that stuff. But I think really what the Lord is looking for us is that we have our hearts in the right place when we're giving. Amen. And so you can give online, you can give in the boxes and all the things, and appreciate you guys sowing into this house. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, it's a major form of worship is our giving. A lot of us think it's just like a duty, but it's actually a form of worship. It's us giving that part of us that we know that God's already given us everything. Everything you have is His, right?
Right.
I mean, we don't own anything, even though it seems like it may have our name on the title. It's actually His, because He's given us, as believers, He's given us the ability to live, move, and have our being, given us the strength for us to have jobs, given us mental capacity to have, you know, good paying jobs. And so it's really all His. He owns everything. It says He owns all the cattle. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, it's on someone else's property. It's all His, because we're all His. And so when we give back our tithe, when we give back our 10%, we're just saying, Lord, I'm just giving You, in an act of love, a reminder for me to remember it's all Yours anyway. Amen? Not here to preach a tithing message, but... So we're going to talk today about password of praise. How many are familiar with passwords? We probably all are. How many hate passwords? How many hate having to always change your password every now and then because the computer is saying, time to change your password, or the website saying, your password is not very secure. Anybody ever get that? Or you put in a password, you think it's a good one, it says, weak password. I hate it. And believe me, I have an entire application that probably has 1,000 passwords on it because it has all my customers' passwords on it. And I have to try to, you know, keep track of those. And, you know, then that password has to be really tough because I don't want anybody to access those. So passwords are important. Passwords are something that we're all very familiar with. But who would ever think of a password of praise? Password of praise? What does that mean? Well, a password does what? When we go to a website and we put in our password, what happens? We have access. Oh my goodness. Are you guys going to start preaching?
Nope.
We have access. A door has been opened. The portal to the website has been opened. Now, remember I was saying, I think if we could see what was going on in the supernatural realm, if we could see what was going on in the heavenlies when we're sitting in our chairs praising Him, maybe quietly, but from a pure heart, what kind of things are transpiring? Whether we're you know, right there in front of God, the Father, and His glory's raining down on us, or He's coming here, however our mind figures it out. Obviously, it's all another dimension and it's supernatural. But the point being is that we're now changing the place of our location. We're changing our location based on the condition of our heart, the condition of our mind, the condition of our being. Even though we may not feel it. Even though we may not sense a single thing. It's happening. And the reason that I wanted to share this today is because and isn't that amazing, that last song that you guys, you know, we didn't discuss that. We didn't like, hey, let's really get a song that'll make them feel guilty about this message. No, we did not do that. So Holy Spirit, and we've never done that song before. Holy Spirit conspired against us or for us or with us, however you want to say it. And I had this message for last week. And remember, Eric came back and he was able to preach? Well, I was almost ready to go with another message, which would have been a great message, but the Lord reminded me, no, you've got something from last week. Ah, but I, you know, that was last week, Lord. Why do I want to do that? I went fresh manna. That was last week's message. No, He really put it on my heart that He wanted me to communicate this message to you. So, password of praise. Let's see where the Lord takes us with this. Okay, so this is from Psalm 89:14. How many of you use I think I got it in Jesus Calling. Anybody read Jesus Calling here? I know you do. Yeah, you do. It's a daily devotional that's really developed in the idea of personal, intimate worship. There's a lot of times I'll wake up in the morning. I use one of the first things I do in the morning. I'll read it, and it reminds me that I'm not alone. Reminds me that Jesus is walking with me. Reminds me to keep my mind on the fact that Jesus is always around me. That he's never leaving me or forsaking me. That he's always working on my behalf. That he's always interacting with me and in his love. And that's pretty good, if you ask me. So this scripture came up, several months ago. And I highlighted this. Okay, I like this. So it's Psalm 89:14 through 17. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. Have learned to acclaim you. Who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength. By your favor, you exalt our horn. So this verse, verse 15, is what popped off the page. Usually gives us three or four verses every devotional time. And then on mine, I use the app that you can get on the Android store. You can get it on the App Store. And it has the verses there. And this one came out. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. Acclaim you. It's not just like, hey, Jesus, you're great. Acclaim is like a trumpet sound. It's like a blast. You know, sometimes when we get really loud, unless you're like at a football game, most everybody can get loud at football games, which is just crazy if you think about it. We go to a game, you know, we're watching maybe our favorite team or we're watching our kids play the game. It's like, wow, are we yelling? Right, Gay? Go, Bella! It's like, that's one of our granddaughters. And it's like, you know, we're cheering. And for some reason, I think when we enter the doors of the church, it says, please be quiet in our being. I don't think it's telling us to be quiet. I think the enemy of our soul wants us to be quiet. I think the one who that if we were really excited and loud and boisterous, that the things in the spiritual realm will start shaking around us. And as we will see in the scriptures, maybe even prisoners set free, chains falling off. And for me, that means hurts and wounds and things from our past that the enemies used against us can be broken off our lives. That's good news. Password, bowl of praise. 89:15, this is the ESV version. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout. Festal. What's a festival? What's a festival? It's like a celebration. Blessed are the people. Happy, fortunate. I think I do use that in the Amplified over here in the minute. And then, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face. See, I think there's something about the presence of God and us choosing to exist and remain in the presence of God. In other words, to the place where we're acknowledging that, we're reminding ourselves of that. And for some reason, praise and worship does that. You know, when we're praising on Monday morning, when there's no official service going on, we're reminded of who we're worshiping, of who we're praising. And hopefully we're reminded he's there with us. Or we're there with him. However you want to use your mental faculties to wrap around it. Someone came in today and they said, I'm entering the temple. I said, no, the temple is entering the building.
Because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God. We have him in us. It says that he's not in structures built by man's hands. He chose to live in these earthen vessels. Why? Because when he inhabits us, he makes us more like him. And it's not something we have to go through difficultly. Difficultly? With difficulty. Let's put it that way. I do like making up words, and every now and then I've used them a lot that I've heard people around here using them after a few years. But the difficultness of trying to serve God and really accomplish it, fulfilling who he's called us to be, not just a Christian in name, but a Christian in character and nature and in presence. In other words, when we come around to places, Christ is so evident in us, so alive in us, because we've kept our minds on him, that people see Jesus. They don't see us and all our failures. Here's another verse. Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship, for they will walk in the light of your presence, Lord. So notice that this one in the New Living Translation is really talking about those who hear it. But I'm telling you, it's also those who communicate it. Those who let their voices be known. Now, sometimes it's hard in a small gathering to get loud. Because guess what? I might be more conspicuous. I might just stick out like a sore thumb. People might actually look at me because, you know, I'm not like blending in with a whole bunch of others. But why should that matter? Who are we worshiping? Who are we trying to impress? Hopefully nobody. Who are we trying to, you know, keep from looking at us? We should all be looking at Jesus. But I'm telling you, if we could understand the understanding of that we have access when we worship, that we're causing things to happen in the supernatural realms, I think we would get more excited. Now, I know there's individuals here that get excited. I could look at them right now, a couple of them, and they love to worship. But whether we love it or not is beside the point. What are you saying, Pastor? You mean like you just do it? Yes. It's called a sacrifice of praise. It's like an offering. I mean, have you ever like given your offering? It's like, wow, this just isn't much, but you know, it's all that I can give, and I'm giving this sacrificially because maybe I'm tight on money or something, but you give it. You give it by faith, right? You give it out of a relationship that you have with him. That's what our worship's like. And whether we feel like it or not doesn't matter. It's about realizing that when we worship, when we lift our voices, now it's great to do it with a whole heart. But I'm telling you, you've come this far, you've come into this building, or you've come before his throne, reading your word on a Monday morning or a Friday morning, and you're there. I mean, take some time and worship him. I'm saying this to myself. Sometimes it's so easy to get into my scriptures and stuff, but let's make sure that we're utilizing the password of praise. All right, how blessed are the people who worship you? Oh Lord, they experience your favor. I love the way all these phrase it differently. Here's the Amplified. Blessed and happy are the people who know the joyful sound of the trumpet's blast. See, there it is. That's what that word means in the Hebrew. It's like a blast. It's a loud sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your favor, in the favor of your countenance. This is this would be the Aramaic, the FCAB. Blessed is the people that knows your glory songs. Lord Jehovah, they will walk in the light of your face. What is the light of his face? His presence. Those who know the glory songs. Now, we have a service here that where we don't stay always on script. We don't always stick to every single song. We don't always stick to every single line in the song. We do what's called spontaneous worship. And why we do spontaneous worship is because it gives us an opportunity. And when someone up there is just playing the guitar, you have an opportunity to yourself to spontaneously worship. You can just say, thank you, Jesus. That's all it has to be. You don't have to come up with, you know, an amazing song. Although I like to sometimes, driving in my car, I like to come up and just let the Lord just give me something for just him and I. And it's pretty amazing. Spontaneous music. Why do we do that? Because we're waiting for us to be able to truly connect with what God wants to do. Especially if we know that the Lord wants to touch everybody, which I know he does. I like to think that Sunday mornings is like Jesus has set a banqueting table for us. And that he's placed all kinds of things for each and every one of us. Each has an individual meal that God's prepared. And we could choose, and we can choose, to either receive it or to leave it on the table. Or maybe we'll take a bite of this big meal that God has set for us, something that we need, something that will help us, like I prayed earlier, transform and be more like Jesus, be changed when we leave, not the same people. Because I think, like I said earlier, I think if we come here and nothing happens, which, you know, that would be impossible, really, because I believe that God's always at work in you. But if we don't receive what God has for us and receive a transformation, a blessing, maybe an encouragement for our hearts, who knows what God has in store? Maybe it's just something as simple as us receiving the truth that he loves us. Just for today, in a new way. I love you, my child. And we know that perfect love does what? Casts out all fear. Helps remove doubt. Here's the Message version. Blessed are the people who know the passwords of praise, who shout on parade in the bright presence of God. Yes, that's where I got the word password. See, it helps to read multiple translations, because you gain insight into what the word's trying to say. I love this. Who know the passwords of praise. What are some of the passwords of praise? Well, what? Holy, holy, holy. That's what is going on in the heavenlies. That's what the creatures that are around his throne. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah. It really depends on your heart. Yeah. It could be something as simple as, ah. No, Pastor, that's too, you're not being specific enough for God. He needs to know what you're saying. No, he doesn't. Ah, he hears your heart. He sees your being. It's not what we say, it's how we say it. Not how loud we say it, even though it encourages us to be loud. It's really, are we entering into the gift that God has given us of praise? It's a gift. To praise God is a gift. All right, let's look at another. This is Psalm 104 in a few translations. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Remember this picture? Password of praise. What does password do for us again? Access, right? Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. His courts with praise. It's telling us and reminding us that when we come into where he is or where we want him to be, we are worshiping him and we're giving him the praise. We're giving him the honor. We're exalting his name. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. I got to find the one I was at. I think this is it. No, that's not it. Come on. Are we there? No. All right. Enter his gates. This is the God's word translation. Enter his gates with a song of thanksgiving. Come into his courtyards with a song of praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. The message, enter with the password, thank you. Something as simple as thank you. Thank you. Sometimes that's all I have to say is just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Then if you want to get specific, thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, Lord, that your blood cleanses me and washes me, purifies me. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood for me. Thank you, Lord, that your blood cleanses my conscience, Lord, from dead works. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for taking my place, taking my punishment. It should have been me. Thank you, Lord. That's worship. That's praise. Now, we're not doing it with song and timbrel and dance, but we're doing it from the depths of our being and hopefully in honesty, in purity, and truth. Right? So, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him. Worship him. All right. Here's a symbolic story that's in the Bible that I think communicates the power of praise. So this is Exodus 17, 8 through 13. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hands. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hands. What is an illustration of holding up your hands? Surrender. Worship too, right? But it is a sign of surrender. It's surrendering our will to his will. It's surrendering our power to his power. That's what Moses is doing. He's lifting up his hands. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. So when Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. In other words, when he held up his hands, Israel, in that battle with Amalek, started to win. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. Now, why did God choose for it to be that way? It says that those things that are written then are for who? Us. That wasn't just so that Israel could win a battle. That was so that we could learn a spiritual truth. That when we praise God, we're winning. We win. But Moses' hands became heavy. You guys ever have heavy hands? Lift up those heavy hands. Sometimes it's so hard to worship. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. So he was probably standing at first. Now he's going to sit down, still trying to hold up his hands. Who knows how long this battle was going? Have you ever held your hands up for a long time? Yeah. You know, when I truly grasp this truth, you know how I used to keep my hands up to worship? I'd lean up against the wall like this. Aaron and her. it was there to help me do that. And I would just continue to worship. I'd worship through my problems. I'd worship through my difficulties. I'd worship through the attacks of the enemy. And I would worship. Because I know that worship is the password of praise. It's a password and access into God. And if we look here, it says, and they put it under him and he sat on it, and Aaron and her supported his hands, one on one side and on the other, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So why did Joshua win the battle? Because they were a victorious army? Because they were cloaked in the power of God? Because they had weapons that were superior? Because they had better fighting skills? None of those. It's telling us why. because Moses' hands were supported up. We don't see any other battle that's what's required, but we see a truth here that worship is a power in God for battling, for conquering, for winning. Amen? Okay, you guys are very quiet, so must means it's sinking in. I don't know. Okay, Acts 16:24-26. So Paul and Silas are in Ephesus, and I think it's Ephesus in Ephesus. Yeah, Ephesus. Ephesian jailer, that's right. In Ephesus, and they are ministering for a long time, and every day Paul walks by this woman who had this spirit of divination, and she would always say to Paul, "Behold the men of God, behold those," and she would just mock them and say that they were, you know, they were followers of Christ. And finally Paul just said, "I've had enough," and he turns and rebukes the devil, and the devil flees, and this woman who had the power of divination went away. And these men were making profit off of her. And so now they're not going to be able to make profit. That was like their income source. And so they got upset, and they got Paul and Silas thrown into prison. So having received, 24, such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So picture this. They're doing all their stuff that they need to do for God. They're preaching the gospel. They're letting people know how to become good Christians, how to grow in Christ. And, you know, they're casting out demons. And it got them into trouble. Now they're put all the way in the very center of the prison in chains. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Praying and singing hymns. I think they were connecting with a password. I think they had a password. I don't think they were necessarily doing this for the next results, but I think they understood that it didn't matter where they were, what was going on in their life, how chained up they looked, that through praise and worship, they could enter into the presence of God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. The warden of the prison, after this earthquake, and saw that the prison door... I mean, this isn't just Paul and Silas whose chains were broken and whose doors was open. Everybody's was. Every door, every chain in the prison broke. Why are things written in the Bible again? For our benefit. That wasn't just for them then. It's for us now. Worship and prayer breaks chains, not just off our lives, off those other prisoners around us. It helps bring liberty to the captives. I think it helps bring recovery of sight to the blind. Raising the people from the dead. You know, people, we want to see miracles. We want to see the power of God. Well, when we are in the presence of God on a continuous basis, not in some kind of religious way, but in a devotional way, in a love way, in a relationship way, then we become more like Jesus and have the opportunity of being Him. Being Him in the highways and the byways. Not just being Mike Lindell, but get to be Jesus. You know, if the beggar on the street or the person that is the lowliest, if Jesus says, "If you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, what, you've done it to me." So if He is Jesus, how much more us, who is desiring and hungering to be more like Him, like Jesus? And I know that's hard for our mental capacity to wrap our minds around, because, oh, I'm not Jesus. No, you're not Jesus But you're Christ's representative. You're his ambassador. He calls you his, right? So in a transfer of power, as he chose to do, what did he say? He became poor so that we might become rich. Not rich wealthy, rich spiritually, rich with who he is. So we are Jesus to the world. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his eyes. We are his voice. So if we worship God, praying, singing psalms, however we worship him, I believe that other prisoners listen. I believe that when we worship him in spirit and in truth, others who are chained by the enemy, listen. And they have an opportunity to be set free. They have an opportunity to have their chains off. And the presence of God should have been so strong that they should have ran. Okay, let me put it this way. The presence of God was so strong that they didn't run away. These are prisoners that aren't Paul and Silas. Who knows what they did? But the presence of God was so strong, they didn't leave. To the place where the warden was ready to kill himself. I don't know where he was in the prison, but Paul cries out, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." And he runs in, and he falls at Paul and Silas' feet and says, "What must I do to be saved?" We pray for Yakima, don't we? We declare that Yakima will be saved. What if a password for Yakima is us becoming true worshipers? What if it opens up access for the heavenlies in Yakima Valley like never before? What if it opens up hearts for the access of God to come in and change and transform them and make them into people that he's already called them to be, that Jesus already died for them to be? It says that while they were yet sinners, Christ died for them. Right? While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Christ did all the work for my salvation. So in God, I was already saved, but I just didn't know it. I never had an opportunity for the light to shine in this place of darkness and the glorious gospel to bring in the light of God to where I go, "Oh my goodness, I'm something different. I'm not just a human walking around the earth with my head down, you know, kicking stones. I'm actually a child of God with a plan of God that was been built into my DNA from the very beginning of my existence, before the foundations of the world," it says. I've been predestined. And why did that happen? I don't know. Could it have been that someone was praying somewhere, worshiping somewhere, and it echoed so much through the environment I was in that finally the light of God pierced my darkness? I don't know. But I do know that this shows us that through lifting our hands, through praying, singing hymns and songs, I don't know what all Paul and Silas were doing, but whatever they were doing, it was in purity of heart. They were worshiping God in spirit and in truth, as we're encouraged to do. And I think, as we were singing that song earlier, I think God wants us to learn what passwords of praise he has for us. And the only way that's going to happen, I don't think it's going to happen on Sunday morning. I personally don't think you're going to learn to be a good worshiper on Sunday morning. What? Yes. I don't think you learn how to be a good Christian on Sunday morning. You maybe have some information. You maybe have an environment that helps. But I think it's during your times when there's nobody there to encourage you but God. Yeah. or there's nobody there to be accountable to but God. There's nobody else watching but Him. When you choose to maybe not do something that you normally would do, and say, no, you know what, Lord? I want to be holy and blameless before You in love. I choose not to do that. And thank You for what You did for me, Jesus, so that I have the power over this. And I don't have to continue to be dragged down in my life by these habits and these addictions. I can now rest in You and in Your power. Same power that raised Christ from the dead is giving life to my mortal body. Not just so that I can be some glowing being, but so that I have the power over sin. I have the power over the works of the enemy. So I want you in the coming weeks to just take some time and say, Lord, help me develop my password. Help me develop passwords that I have access to You. Maybe for some it will be just repeating, thank You, Lord, and that's fine. You can use thank you. I give you permission. You have copyright permission. Or it may be for you, maybe something for you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. And in that saying, you're saying it all. Or it could be something like, oh, Abba, Daddy. Or it could be a full song. You may listen to a song. I want you to start listening to your spirit. If you're listening to something, you're going, oh, I really like that. Well, that's telling you something. That's letting you know that God's doing something when you're listening to that. I'm not talking about, you know, just secular music. But maybe even a secular song speaks to you. Oh, what, Pastor? You can't even say that. Why? Why does everything have to be under this quote-unquote religious standard? If something's touching your heart and drawing you closer to God and you're falling more in love with Him, more power to that. Because what the enemy may be meant for evil in that, God's using for good. But when you have something that you know how it feels, it's like, oh man, it's like, there's something about that. I just love that. Well, listen to it a bit. There's a verse that you read, and it's like, oh man, that speaks to me. Well, let it continue to speak to you. Memorize it if you have to, or write it on a piece of paper and put it on your windshield or your refrigerator, or your windshield and refrigerator, and where you are getting ready in the morning. Well, that's kind of excessive. Yeah, well, listen, the enemy is going around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. So let's make sure that we're being fortified in God. That we're not like being, you know, mamby-pamby in our Christianity, being sober-minded, vigilant, determined, militant, maybe? Radical? I'm here to tell you, on your mirror in the bathroom. Yep, there you go. On your mirror in the bathroom. All right. I know I've been communicating a little bit, but Father, we thank You for being in our lives. Thank You, Lord. Let's just do that together. Let's just all start saying thank You. And when He gives you a word to say thank You for, then go ahead and fill it in. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Can't hear you. Let's see if we can at least hear our voices. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Lord, for being our Savior. Thank You, Lord, for delivering us out of death, hell, and the grave, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your peace, Lord, that passes all understanding. Thank You, Lord, for love, Lord. Love that never fails, Lord. Love that we're never separated from, Lord. Love, Lord, that neither height nor depth, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come can separate us from Your love. Thank You, Lord, for that. Thank You, Lord, that all things are working together for our good, Lord. Thank You, Jesus, Lord, that You have given us, Lord, a reason to live, Lord. That we're not just beings walking around with no hope or no future, Lord, but you've given us a purpose, Lord, for living, and that's to be your children, to be your representatives, to be light, Lord, in this darkness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's simple. Praise the Lord. So go and find what password God has for you. Maybe a song, it may be a word, maybe a verse, but find what it is that gets you the access into his presence. And don't take his presence for granted. Don't take being his for granted. Don't think, well, I'm just a Christian. No, you're not just anything. You are a child of God. You are a supernatural spiritual being that has now a place and a presence here in this world for this time. For such a time as this, you are here. And you will be successful in God. Because if God is for you, then nothing will be against you. Amen? Amen. God bless you all. Have a great day. We will see you tonight at 6 at Franklin Park. Bring your food if you can, because it'd be good to have food. I just it's been on now for 7 hours, pulled pork. Smoked pulled pork. Yeah, you haven't had it yet, Patrick, have you? I've been doing this now for over 10 years, so I've got it down. So you've been ready for some food that is good. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay, love you all. Thank you for coming and being here and being part of this faith group, because that's what it is. We're a faith family. We're not just a church. We're the temples of God coming together and enjoying his presence. Amen.